Welcome to Feldman World
Review. Blog Talk Radio.
That's your world, I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Yeah, that's what the future will be like. You'll dial 911, and it'll just be a steady, busy signal. Hey, welcome to Feldman World Review. This is Brian Irvin, your host here at Feldman World Review, welcoming you in. It's July the 15th, 2020, and some things just keep going on and on as the summer is, expiring. I guess we're getting to the halfway point. And supposedly baseball is coming back. Supposedly football is coming back. But there's a lot of caveats and a lot of catches to all of that. And I just want to say July the 15th, 2006. Guess whose birthday it is? Twitter launched in 2006. It seems like Twitter's been around a lot longer than 14 years. But, it's been an interesting ride with Twitter. You know, it used to be a wide open forum for all kinds of things, tons of great anti-Semitic sites, a whole bunch of great terror sites and communist sites and fascist sites and hate groups. And, everybody was saying everything. But then the conservatives showed up and, you know, suddenly there's suspensions and shutdowns and all the rest of what's come on. But it's been interesting with Twitter for sure. And also on this day, in 1834, the Spanish Inquisition is officially disbanded after nearly 356 years, and very impactful to Jews in Spain. 1492, you had to convert or die. Not a lot of liberty in that regard. 1959, the steel strike of 1959 begins on July 15th. Leading to significant importation of foreign steel for the first time in United States history. And it's been a battle, these tariff fights, these battles for international trade. The problems have gone on for a long time. July 15, 1966, Vietnam War. United States, South Vietnam began Operation Hastings to push the North Vietnamese out of the Vietnamese demilitarized zone. And that didn't end well. I don't think we were allowed to fight that one. 2002, on July 15th, American Taliban John Walker Lynch, remember him? He pleads guilty to supplying aid to the enemy and to possession of explosives during the commission of a felony. And 2006, on July the 15th, Twitter, popped in and launched, and the rest is history. In 2016, factions of the Turkish army forces attempted a coup, and I think a lot of you may remember that because, President Obama did a good job ignoring that. Of the people were in Turkey were looking for someone to support them, but as usual, under the Obama administration, there is no confrontation. The left runs around and always talks about how, Trump has been terrible. He's just been terrible for the world. Why? Because he's standing up to China. He stood up to NATO, and he really is. He's really for America first, things that are going to benefit the citizens of America, which was the idea of having elected officials in the first place. They were supposed to go there and represent us, not their own self-interest. Which is why it's mind-boggling to me that all these media outlets would even lie and say that Joe Biden is ahead in these polls. Because I just, you've got to be kidding. Got to be kidding. It's just pretty ridiculous. But, since the show on Sunday, I've seen a ton of the protests, if you want to call them that, the riots, the National Marxist Islamist Coalition Revolutionary Theater has been going on and on. It hasn't stopped, and it's still in a lot of cities, but there have been so many videos of police officers being attacked, shot at, shot, hit with objects, hit with bats, boards, having bricks thrown at them. You know, the Antifa has those cement milkshakes. They, you know, they take water and they dump in cement and let it dry, and then by the time they toss it, you know, it's in a I like to say an awful cup, but not many people know what an awful is, but it's in a milkshake cup, and it gets all hard and they throw it, and they've been getting brutalized. And even the chief of police in New York, I don't know if you saw the pictures, with his bloody head, a guy was whacking him over the head. You know, it's pretty bad. It's a pretty bad situation. But I wanted to throw a shout out to the police department, the Blue Line. They've been abused. I mean, there have been some bad actors. I mean, there's no question about it. There's no. You want to go back to Bull Durham, whatever his name was, the sheriff in Alabama, hosing people down. And there's been some horrible police officers, corrupt. There was the one that murdered three wives. What was his name? I can't think of his name. Maybe you remember. But there are bad people in every area, in every field. Okay, but these guys, that piece of garbage that murdered George Floyd, as far as it looks like, you know, in general, I mean, come on. That was just totally unnecessary. He was already handcuffed. There were other police officers there. There was no reason for it. But they represent a small percentage, less than a percent, I bet. If you really end up breaking this down to the tens and hundreds of thousands of police officers across the country who do a great job, who are saving lives all day, delivering babies, you know, saving lives all the time, which you know, I found very interesting that there are many black activists in New York City that want their police back, you know. And John Nolte, writing for Breitbart, he said that a group of black activists were asking New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, that anti-Semitic scumbag, to take your handcuffs off the police, unquote. Take your handcuffs off the police. How about that? And among other things, they're pleading with de Blasio to not sign a police reform bill into law, which he did, and to bring back the anti-crime unit that was recently dissolved in response to the Black Lives Matter Antifa riots that launched in late June. Now, the so-called reform bill slashes the NYPD budget by billions with a B. You know, and that idiot de Blasio, he actually said that Black Lives Matter is going to become a constant, shall remain as a constant, almost putting Black Lives Matter, you know, above the police, which is frightening. This mayor's got to go. I mean, if New York City, if you guys can survive, if there's anybody out there listening from New York City right now, really, do you think you can survive to the next election? You know, there was a petition to get that lousy mayor of Seattle out. Why isn't New York doing the same thing with de Blasio? This guy has to be thrown out. He's doing a communist revolution in Manhattan Island. And no one's doing anything about it. But he just comes out and he just, that Black Lives Matter has some kind of moral superiority over everybody else. And you know, that's because his daughter's a fan. You know, she got arrested with him, so she's a fan. But give me a break. But these activists have had it. And, you know, it says here, it goes, several black community leaders gathered in Brooklyn on Tuesday and called upon the mayor and the city council and clergy to end violence ravaging their communities. The activists disparaged the police reforms proposed by city officials and accused them of urging anti-cop activists such as Black Lives Matter to dictate city policy. They called upon de Blasio not to sign the police reform bill that the city council just passed. And probably when they said that, that's when he ran down and grabbed his pen. Anyway, quote, the African-American community is saying we don't want crime here. 95% of the people here are decent, law-abiding citizens, and the law is for the lawless, Bishop Gerald Seabrooks told reporters Tuesday following a spate of five shootings early Monday night in Canarsie. Quote, so please, Mayor, take your handcuffs off the police. Let them police with professionalism, respect, and courtesy. Now, unfortunately, these pleas will almost certainly fall on deaf ears, which they had. And because Democrats like de Blasio, they are not reluctantly slashing police budgets, are not reluctantly hobbling or demoralizing police. They're eager to do it. They're eager to do it. You know, and this guy Nolte wrote, he wrote this last month. He wrote, "The left despised the middle class, the bourgeois. We're too satisfied and complacent to vote for their radical controlling ideas that history continues to prove a failure. And so nothing destroys the population's ability to climb out of poverty and into the middle class more than a burned out neighborhoods, vacant storefronts, streets filled with violent criminals, and eunuchs for police. This system is put in place by design to keep people down, to keep them from becoming complacent members of the middle class. And if you care enough to take a good look around to study the past and present history, it is a system put into place by Democrats to keep the people who live in these predominantly black neighborhoods poor, angry, desperate, and huddled." And that's what we're seeing. And the police are paying a terrible price. A terrible price. I mean, you know, I guess all white people, all policemen are guilty before proven innocent, the way things are in this particular time. But it's nice to see some people are at least voicing their opinion about this, about bringing the police back. I mean, this is insanity. You know, this is frightening stuff. This is, people are getting hurt. People are getting shot. All over the place. Sad stories. Little kids, 1-year-olds, 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, teenagers, just gunned down in the middle of nothing, being shot at barbecues, walking down the street, riding in a bus. I mean, when does this end? De Blasio was destroying New York before this all happened. How he got reelected, I have no idea. I hope to God he doesn't pull off what Bloomberg did. Bloomberg went around the state law and got a third term. You know, he had his city council that he appointed vote on whether he should have a third term, and they said yes, and so he did. Amazing, right? The left, they're amazing. They got guts. They got more guts, unfortunately, than our weak and feckless Republicans in the House and the Senate that keep, like Lindsey Graham, he keeps promising, "I'm doing this and we're outraged and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to subpoena Joe Blow." And, you know, there's nothing. They do nothing. They just talk. It's just a soundbite on Fox, a soundbite on CNN. He acts all indignant and pissed off, you know, thinking that'll just get him reelected. If he gets reelected, he can do it all over again. Anyway, the primaries are looking good, right? Two of Trump's guys won. I like Tuberville, man. Football coach. You know, running for Senate. He beats Jeff Sessions. Sessions was a pretty big man, though. He came out today and said that all the Republicans better start looking at Trump's agendas and Trump's platform and start to get behind him. You know, so at least Sessions said that, even though he was a loser and Trump's been really, you know, smacking him down for a while. He deserved it. He recused himself in the middle of a scam investigation that could have been squelched right off the bat. If he, you know, he should have looked at evidence first about the FISA warrants, about the phone and computer tapping, about the other things that were going on before he just recused himself. He didn't even try. And Trump had a right to be pretty mad, but, you know, it's nice to see Tucker. I like to see a football coach in there, that, you know, especially a non-Ivy League lawyer, you know, a poli-sci grad, Ivy League lawyer, who's a career politician. It's good to see them go, and it always should be good to see them go. But, you know, I heard something today. I was watching, I was on Oxygen watching those snapped, right, about all those crazy crimes. And this line hit me. This guy goes, "Evidence doesn't lie, people do. Evidence doesn't lie, people do." And that's the title of my little COVID journal I'm going to do here. You know, COVID has affected us all, depending on which state you're in, what community you're in. It's affected us the same but differently. The same but differently. I moved away from New Jersey to the Southeast, and I'm glad I did because, you know, what's going on between Cuomo and the de Blasios of the world and that you know, Obama butt boy, former ambassador to Germany for Obama administration, Murphy, who's now the governor of New Jersey. You know, I wouldn't like what's going on there with the lockdowns, but back to a lockdown, this lockdown, that lockdown. I mean, we're having some issues here in Florida. There's, you know, you see it, there's all this crazy stuff going on. But, you know, we all had to go through different changes as this came down because the media, you know, was talking about it. And I had some level of trust in what they were saying going into this whole thing because Trump was there. And I trusted Trump to, like, vet all this stuff. But, man, this was one of the hugest hustles, a huge deception, a huge hustle, bigger one than I've ever seen, that they put on Trump and they put on the United States of America and they put on everybody. But, you know, we all had to go through a lot of changes. You know, sometimes it's masks and gloves. But, you know, my wife, my wonderful wife, we've been really blessed. She's a 5-year, she's going to be in September, she'll be a 5-year survivor of pancreatic cancer. So over the course of this last 5 years, you know, because she's had different issues, she does not have her spleen, so she's extremely immunosuppressed. So when we would go out to the hospitals or see a doctor or go get tests or go out most any kind of way, she would wear the mask and the medical gloves. And I wasn't wearing them yet, but she would always wear them. So it was kind of like part of our routine anyway. So when this all went down, we had masks, we had gloves in our house already. We didn't have enough toilet paper either, but we had, in January, you started hearing a lot of this stuff, and then Trump hears about the virus, shuts down travel from China, and, you know, my wife and I watch a lot of, you know, I'm a political junkie, so I'm watching a lot of TV, and Fox is getting hard to swallow, except for 2 or 3 people. And Newsmax needs to do more production, get some better shows, more video. They got a great platform there. They're starting to get improved, but they really got to do more. I could never watch CNN and MSNBC. My wife could tell you that. We'll just beat up the TV. I'd be yelling at it the whole time, sitting there yelling at it. But, you know, January came. He stopped the flights. We started thinking about it, you know. Could it be coming in? As a matter of fact, we had just moved here, and I was looking for file cabinets, and I ended up buying file cabinets from a Chinese guy that lives in the next town south of here that I found on, you know, Facebook Marketplace or whatever it was. And I got the two, and of course, when we brought them up to the door, my wife would have done this anyway, corona or not. You know, we wiped that whole thing down with disinfectant wipes and made sure it was all cleaned out because we were already on alert for things. Because she's already immunocompromised. You know, but then, you know, February came and there was more and more, of course, you know, oh, he's xenophobic, he hates Chinese people now. You know, first it was he hated Mexicans and Latinos and South Americans and Muslims. Well, now it was the Chinese, he was xenophobic, he was racist, this was all terrible. Everybody from Joe Biden, everybody on the comic book side, on the left, they're all comic book players, okay? Schiff, Nadler, Pelosi, Schumer, the rest of them, you know all the names, you know the thing, you know all this, you know, they're just over there just attacking mercilessly. Pelosi's running around Chinatown in San Francisco telling everybody to come out, come down and get Chinese food, and just to come out, and, you know, it's starting to spread. And, you know, I saw this thing, I think it was about the middle to late February, that you had to watch out if you touched an ATM or a gas pump, that it could transmit, these viruses could be on there and transmit. So I started carrying disinfectant wipes in my hand, you know, through February, going to the gas station, going to the store. I'd be wiping down ATMs and wiping down the gas pump buttons and everything and keeping it clean. And just trying to be really worried because I couldn't bring this home. I can't take the risk of bringing it home, no matter what I believe has been a lie or misinformation or not. And so we just had a little My producer just brought me in a note here. I'm sorry. You know, so I would always be wiping them down. And then March came. And, you know, what happened to me was I had, we had moved here to the Southeast, and I had a job as a consultant. And the first week of March, they started to close, they were talking about closing schools down. The company I was working for supplied schools with you know, pencils, markers, paper, everything you would need from first grade to 12th grade, all kinds of supplies. In fact, I was fighting with two suppliers trying to get updates on where are my disinfectant wipes, because these are part of the things that we would sell. Disinfectant wipes, hand sanitizers for the kids to have at their desk. You know, we'd already been doing that because of flu and H1N1 and SARS and all the rest. So it just kept, you know, it just kept going that way. And you know, so, you know, I knew I couldn't bring this disease home, so I started wearing the mask also. Before they had really advised it, I had read a bunch of things from some European doctors. I subscribed to a lot of you know, newsletters and websites all around the planet. And a lot of these French doctors had already been giving a lot of information out. And so March, you know, the masks came out. We were, you know, we were all supposed to make this big sacrifice to drop that big curve, so hospital beds wouldn't be overwhelmed and ICUs wouldn't be overwhelmed, and they stopped doing all the medical procedures on with heart disease or digestive problems or cancers. And it was pretty bad. These people are in rough shape that were too scared to catch this disease, too scared to, you know, bring it home. That was my problem. And I've continued to wear the mask outside. But, you know, and it's, you know, and sometimes I feel guilty that I'm not standing up for my constitutional rights, but there's other protections. So I have, I really feel like I have no choice simply because I have to do it. And I think a lot of people felt the same way, protect their families, to do what you had to do. But then suddenly March turned into April, turned into May. You know, my state down here started to open. The one next door started to open. Some started to open up a little bit. And then other ones did not. Other ones, Michigan, oh, my God, that Governor Whitmer, woo! She's a piece of work, man. I don't know if she had, like, you know, fascistic fantasies or something. She's probably, you know, dominatrix, you know, type of personality. Because she really, you know, she really just went after people's rights and started wielding some power that she really doesn't have. You know, but the lies and the misinformation on COVID-19. Now, COVID-19 is a marketing term. I'm going to say it every time I use the term, because, you know, it's just a marketing term for SARS coronavirus 2. And once I heard SARS coronavirus 2 back in February, and I started to really think about what was going on in late February, and then it started to make sense why I couldn't buy, you know, truckloads of hand sanitizer and truckloads of of disinfectant wipes. You know, I realized that there's a damn good possibility that the Wuhan virus, which is what we were calling it, right? Everybody, the Wuhan virus, because it came out of the virology lab at the Wuhan University there, and that it was clearly a modified version that they've been messing with for a long time. I mean, Obama was putting money and financing the Wuhan lab since 2014. And we sunk a ton of, in fact, maybe a little earlier, sunk a ton of money in there. But then he pulled people out when one of the Chinese doctors caught one of these viruses and died back then. So he pulled everybody out. So they were all doing Zoom meetings from University of Maryland and Johns Hopkins with the virology lab. But this was definitely, you know, they were working on modified. You know, it's absurd, the stories they still try to say. I mean, the Chinese want to use viruses as a weapon. They have a whole, their military wing of the bioweapons group, and the bioweapons lab is also in Wuhan, right there. So I started really starting to worry about what this thing was, and they made you feel like, you know, oh, millions of people could die. So the mask goes on. But then we dropped the curve, leveled the curve, and it just kept going on. And all the reasons why we can't do anything. We can't play baseball. We can't finish basketball season. We can't finish the hockey season. You can't have concerts. You can't have live music. You can't have people in a room. You can't go to church or synagogue. You can't do all those things. But all the lies and misinformation about COVID-19 has led to so much confusion. And citizens just gave up their, We all gave up our constitutional rights, our right to assembly, our right to free passage, and free speech. They started saying, well, if you didn't say the right thing about COVID, then we're going to have to shut your Twitter account down or your Facebook account, or they're going to put a disclaimer on your site. Well, this story here was proven. Independent fact checkers say this story is not true. And that's what I keep seeing all the time, you know. But then, you know, when was it? February? The Wuhan virus? Suddenly, the Chinese have enough time. This thing was probably released in November, December, was out of control earlier than they said. And China had enough time to start claiming that calling it the Wuhan virus was some kind of racism, some kind of white supremacist racism, right? Which is pure propaganda. But then that battle started. Right, that whole battle just started. And we had time to fight over it. One person to the other, oh, Trump, he's a racist. He's a racist. He keeps calling it the Wuhan virus. That's racism. But that's where it came from. And I think we're getting smarter now. But then April went into May went into June. We're still here. Some people say that the masks are worse for you than not wearing the mask. Some people say that, you know, that this disease is making a huge comeback, and all of a sudden there's all these spikes reported. You know, all these spikes is all this high level. And COVID was at first. You know, COVID was a first. It was a first. No other pandemic, no other epidemic in United States history got as much involvement by the media, by persons in the government. Never before had there been a death clock on TV 24/7 showing how many were dead and how many had COVID. They never said anything about how many survived, which gives it a completely different look. The tests all from the very beginning should have been reported as one positive for coronavirus and needing hospitalization. Two, negative for coronavirus. Three, positive for coronavirus, but asymptomatic, no symptoms, and possibly, getting better. And four, had been completely cured of coronavirus, because you cannot see the whole story unless you see all those numbers. But no, you know, it was not just the numbers. You know, and now the last couple of weeks, it's growing. There's a spike. You know, oh, you evil Republicans in Florida and Texas. Here comes your answer. Here comes your spike. You know, they did great. Those states did great jobs with containment. Because I remember in the very beginning here in Florida, DeSantis, he locked down the nursing homes. No one could go in to the nursing homes. And there was one right across from where we live, there's a nursing home, and you would see the ambulances there every day. It was sad, taking people to one of the hospitals here. And they weren't coming back in a lot of cases. You know, and it was pretty sad. But the subsequent months, you know, all these subsequent months, people were being threatened with arrest for being outside, for visiting a family member, for trying to open up their business, for exercising, for going to synagogue or going to church, for assembling for a protest. These were all taboos. You know, until the next round of protests and rioting came, these were all taboos. And a coronavirus study confirms that with the exception of New York and New Jersey, overall mortality is not much different than a bad flu season. And I was looking at some numbers, and I just wanted to see real quick, so I'm going to tell you really fast. In the United States, there's been 138,358 deaths. I believe this is almost current with the end of the week, before a couple of days ago. 138,358. And it says recovered 1,026,816. But if you add that together, that's only, a 1,150,000 when you had 33,483 cases. Where's the other couple of million? Where were they? What are they? They were people that never had it. Okay? But, you know, in a year, 647,000 people die from heart disease. 599,000 people die from cancer. 169,000 die from accidents, you know, unintentional type injuries. 160,000 die from chronic lower respiratory diseases. 146,000 die from stroke. You know, and then there's coronavirus, if it was coronavirus, because the CDC started telling people to write up those death warrants. They get paid more money by calling it a coronavirus death. So the numbers aren't, they're not outrageous. What made this so different with a death clock and a constant tick, 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 and suddenly the government is going to force you to take a cure. They're going to force you to take a cure. They're going to supposedly give you a chip, or you have to have a pass that says that, you know, you took this and you passed to get out on the street. I mean, this is draconian. This is horrible what it's become. You know? But, you know, Gateway Pundit reported that this Dr. Richard Cross, PhD, provided them with the following information related to China coronavirus, and they updated this as of June 6th. And it said the week 36, this goes back to week 36, P score, 0.041 for the U.S., could be leveling off, showing an above average flu level mortality rate of about 4%. Excess deaths have climbed from 67,900 to 84,500 for the nation through 36 weeks. This updated level remains below the estimated 114 COVID-19 mortality that world-o-meters, sounds like something from the boardwalk, world-o-meters that we can't go to, world-o-meters on June 6th. The relative impact on total mortality, well, we all know this, right? The New York region was a class by itself. Okay? The increased cumulative total mortality increased. I mean, it was like the Spanish flu. I mean, that's basically what it was. New York City mortality rates remained at Spanish flu levels for the season. New Jersey and Massachusetts remain high. Michigan and Illinois have increased marginally from week 35. Now, think about that. New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Michigan, Illinois have something in common. And then Georgia and Texas were holding steady. California excess mortality is holding steady at less than 1%. I mean, you know, both states well within normal levels of the flu season. So what, shut down all the schools? Shut down all the schools? I mean, there's this huge spike. Oh, my God, it's all coming back. We're all going to die. Keep your mask on. Keep your gloves on. Don't leave your house. You can't go out. And then what did we find out yesterday? We find out yesterday that several Florida labs wrongly reported 100% of COVID-19 tests positive. And Toreen Dyson at Newsmax noted that numerous laboratories in Florida have misreported 100% positive corona tests. And that's according to Fox 35. Now, the Florida Department of Health said some labs have not reported any negative test results. Okay? Other labs reported extremely high positivity rates, which set off some alarms. I'm sure they thought they'd get away with it. And, you know, the media is going to run with it about the big spikes. They're all going to die, and DeSantis was a fool. Now, Orlando Health, for example, reported 98% rate. But when Fox 35 reached out to the health facility to confirm the rate, officials reported it was 9.4%. My first thought, though, there's a lot of stupid people, right? Maybe they had their calculator and they didn't know what was going on. But those stupid people need to go, right? Now, the Orlando Veterans Medical Center reported the positivity rate of 76%. A spokesperson later told the station the hospital's positivity rate was 6%. Now, the state health department on Tuesday said all labs in the state are required to report both positive and negative results immediately. It admits some labs have not. In particular, the health department said small private labs were withholding negative results. Withholding negative results. Now, Florida is currently reporting 12,000 coronavirus cases a day, up from 2,000 from a month ago. And on Tuesday, 132 deaths were announced in a single day. Now, the department immediately began working with those labs to ensure that all results were being reported in order to provide comprehensive and transparent data, a spokesman for the Florida Department of Health said. As the state continues to receive results from various labs, the department will continue educating the labs on proper protocol. Now, that was a nice article. Okay. But then Colin Rigg at Trending Politics kind of saw it a different way. And he wrote, Florida labs caught purposely inflating positive COVID tests. Now, on Tuesday, the Florida State Health Department announced that several coronavirus testing labs in the state had purposely skewed positive coronavirus rates and had not been sharing the negative test rates. Some labs were skewing their positive test rates by a whopping factor of 10. Quote, Council labs have reported 100% positivity rate, which means every single person tested was positive. Other labs had a very high positivity rate, reported Fox 35, adding that CentraCare Laboratory stated that all 83 people who were tested had the virus. But check out what the Daily Wire reported. They said that the news station investigated the suspect astronomical findings and found the data was skewed by the lack of reporting negative tests. For example, Orlando Veterans Medical Center reported positivity of 76 when it was 6. Now, the Florida Department of Health came out Tuesday stating that although public and private labs are required to report positive and negative, they have not. Really. Now, the spokesperson, now, you know, I get a little paranoid. You know, there's a deep state. Well, now I'm starting to think that there is a deep medical state. There are people in the medical industry that have a vested interest in making this thing live longer, misinforming people. I mean, you immediately don't trust the data. You don't trust it. And the Daily Wire continued with, Florida has generated dire media headlines over their recent surge in positive coronavirus test results. The Sunshine State hit a record high on Monday with a report of 12,000 positive tests. But according to Bay News 9, Dr. Paul Pino with Florida Department of Health, Orange County, theorized that the spike in positive tests was partly because of a backlog test results being, but regardless, I mean, this is insanity. Do you know how we have to go back and check Texas numbers? We have to go back and check a lot of numbers. Now, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican, has been repeatedly criticized by Democrats and mainstream media outlets for refusing to dictate blanket, strict social distancing, you know, communist measures, you know, on his citizens instead of opting for a targeted approach with a focus on the elderly who are the most vulnerable. Though the state of Florida has not come closer to catastrophic results in liberal New York, where more draconian measures and deadly nursing home orders, which have since been rescinded, were imposed by Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo, the media have frequently praised the Democrat for his handling. But let's face it. Andrew Cuomo rode Trump's back to anything positive that happened. And then there was some good news. Jim Hoff reported at Gateway. Trump administration wisely stripped CDC of control of coronavirus data. Information will now be sent to a central DC database. What a concept. I guess we really need some transparency because now we don't even trust the CDC, which means we didn't trust Redfield in the first place because of all of his associations. But the Trump administration announced new guidelines on Wednesday. That's today. Starting today, hospitals will be ordered to bypass the CDC and send all COVID-19 patient information to a central database in D.C. This comes after the Gateway's Tuesday report on likely fraudulent numbers coming from the CDC. You know, now ignored by American media and the CDC, children are 7 times more likely to die from seasonal flu than the coronavirus. Now, in pharmacist.com reported, the Trump administration has ordered hospitals to bypass CDC. The Trump administration CDC and sent all COVID-19 information to a central database in Washington beginning Wednesday. In its new guidance, HHS said that going forward, hospitals should report detailed information on a daily basis directly to the new centralized system, which is managed by Teletracking, a health data firm with headquarters in Pittsburgh. However, if hospitals were already reporting such information to their states, they could continue to do so if they received a written release saying the state could handle the reporting. But obviously, there's a lot of errors in the numbers. There's a lot of errors in these numbers. And this COVID just keeps marching along, you know, as we're approaching August. And there's got to be a point, like, I have to make a personal choice because of my personal situation. And just like every other American has the right to make those choices based on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in this country, people have to move forward and make those choices themselves, not be dictated to by the screwy governor of Illinois, the psychotic governor of New York, the Chinese-owned governor of California. It just shouldn't be happening. And look what they did with hydrochloroquine. Hydrochloroquine is still, along with Z-Pak and zinc, is still considered some of the best treatment. And the media should, you know, and Stacey Lennox wrote for PJ Media that the media should really do a mea culpa, as French analysis offers stunning observation about hydrochloroquine use. Because remember the whole thing? Who shut it down? CDC shut it down. Certain governors made it illegal to bring it into the state. Meanwhile, it's the lifesaver. It's the fastest one, 3 to 4 days. It knocks your symptoms down. 7 days, you're tested negative, and you're saved. But Trump said it. Trump said, well, I heard hydrochloroquine has got some promising, again, that's a treatment for it. That is not an inoculation. That is not what we're all waiting for. But she wrote that we've been told repeatedly by health experts to demonstrate the effectiveness of hydrochloroquine and the other meds prescribed with it. We need strict clinical trials. There are studies where some patients receive medicine and some do not. For many healthcare providers, this is a noxious thought that there is evidence to believe the treatment may work. How do you ethically deny a potential treatment to an eligible payment to conduct a study? I mean, it's incredible. There are ethical issues to that approach. Now, President Trump expressed optimism based on studies in France and China, and the media freaked out. The president's political opposition would go on to cling to any proof that the drug would not work and suppress any information that it would. The politicalization culminated in a horrific study published by Lancet that the publication quietly retracted. Quietly. You know, they never report the retractions when they're caught. But, you know, let's face it. This whole COVID thing has been an absolute misjudgment. And now there's a fight over opening the schools over this disease, even though children aren't going to get tagged. And I just want to ask everybody, because I don't know if you see her posting on Twitter, but there's something mentally wrong with Alyssa Milano. There's something wrong with her. And Breitbart reported today, in fact, David Ng, she said, F this. Alyssa Milano demands national shutdown. Hollywood actress and left-wing agitator Alyssa Milano isn't satisfied that California is going back into economic shutdown mode. She wants the whole, that's because she's got money in the bank, folks, right? That she wants the whole country to close down now over coronavirus. Now, she yells. She's the one with the bullhorn. You know, the little Marxist with the bullhorn. Now, the charmed actress, who estimated worth it sits around $10 million, demanded a national shutdown in a recent tweet in which she called for the government to print cash and create a universal basic income. She also criticized politicians who want children to return to school in the fall, calling them a-holes. She said, F this, in her tweet. We are losing this battle. And all these ass a-holes are talking about our kids going back to school. Nope. We need a national shutdown. And, of course, she attaches that to this CNBC article where It says Gavin Newsom closes indoor restaurants, movie theaters, and all bars statewide. The game goes on. What is wrong with these people? Seriously, we cannot keep our economy down. I mean, these morons are either part of this Marxist-Islamist coalition coming to get us, or they're in the pocket of China and they want China to dominate the world. Because I even read something today that there's people out there that are saying that China wasn't built on racism, they claim. China only murdered millions of people to take over. The Chinese Communist Party spent decades murdering millions to take power. I mean, it's the absurdity of it. It's just ridiculous. You know, and Melissa Milano also tweeted out a Wikipedia link to quantitative easing, an economic policy whereby the Federal Reserve infuses cash to the economy by buying bonds. She's out of her mind. You know, school has to open. There's not that much of a threat. But COVID's going to live on for us. Because at baseball games, we can't sit elbow to elbow with our co-fans. And now, because of what Philadelphia has done, no fans will be allowed at Eagles or Phillies home games. Both the Philadelphia Eagles and the Phillies, this was reported in the New York Post by Jared Schwartz. Both the Philadelphia Eagles and Phillies won't be allowed to have fans at home games in 2020, a city official said yesterday. The Eagles are still going to... Now, why don't we have the right to make these choices and take these risks ourselves, like the rights that we have? We have these rights. Now, if I wear a mask every day, I have my own personal concerns and issues, and I have the right to wear them. But a lot of people have the right not to wear them and not to be arrested for wearing them or being in public or opening their business or doing anything. Now, the city on Tuesday announced that all public events over 50 people that require a permit are prohibited until February because of the coronavirus pandemic. Although, and this guy Fauci, come on, he is a Bill Gates puppet. All they're trying to do is sell their drugs. That's my total belief. Now, the city's confident that the games will be able to be played behind closed doors. However, Health Commissioner Thomas, now listen, baseball especially, the crowd has a big impact in a baseball game. You know, you don't hear as much in the football game. You hear a lot of roaring and screaming and yelling. But baseball is all about momentum, right? But MLB is expected to begin the season later this month following a coronavirus-related hiatus, while the NFL started at the beginning of September. But this is insanity. This is absolute, utter insanity. And I only got a couple of minutes left. If anybody has something to say, they're more than welcome to call in. 515-605-9344. I got about 12 minutes left in the show here. I got a lot of stuff on the plate here, but I guess I got coronavirus into submission. But there's just so much. You know, the LA Teachers Union says they won't go back to work unless the Los Angeles Police Department are defunded. Now, that sounds like a nail in the coffin, right, for public education. And our good friend Pam Geller reported that our children, our families cannot be held hostage by left-wing education radicals. Even Steve Scalise tweeted out, unbelievable, the L.A. Teachers Union said they won't go back to school unless L.A. defunds the police. This isn't about kids' education or safety. It's about a left-wing agenda. But now we know. Okay, now we know what this is all about. And the Daily, Andrew Curran, the Daily Caller wrote, they want L.A. Teachers Union demands defunding the police, Medicare for all, and a ban on new charter schools as conditions for reopening. I mean, this is incredible. I mean, the people in California, just like the people in New York, have to wake up, and we have to take these people out. We have to take them out of office. Seriously. But this teachers union is one of the largest in the state. And the United Teachers of L.A. say public schools should not reopen unless their demands are met. Just like Black Lives Matter. They're going to burn down all of our businesses and our homes and our buildings and our cities until their demands are met. Does that sound like something American? But something that's really un-American is probably the biggest schmuck of the year, or I would call the putz of the year for Fellman World Group. And his name is Bill de Blasio, and he has targeted Jews, and on Nerut Sheva, you know, written by Laureen Lipsky. She states that anti-Semitism in New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, he has led the charge against the Jewish New Yorkers, particularly as the coronavirus spreads throughout New York City. Instead of working towards securing the safety of New York City residents after a wave of Black Lives Matter riots targeted businesses, instead of protecting inner city areas of New York, where shootings are at a rise not seen in decades. Oh, we miss Giuliani, New York. Don't you miss Giuliani? Instead of safely opening up the city to invite back those who originally left for the coronavirus shutdown, Mayor Bill de Blasio, Comrade de Blasio, chose to allow a giant Black Lives Matter banner to be painted on Fifth Avenue. There might be a giant Palestinian terror flag sprayed along the stretch of the upscale commercial heart of Manhattan as well, also in front of Trump Tower. Now, Black Lives Matter, all Black Lives Matter, black cops included, black innocent Americans who are being gunned down in certain neighborhoods because of the castration of the police department, their lives matter too. But the group movement Black Lives Matter, or I call them only Black Lives Matter, is well known for its blatant anti-Semitism, its anti-Israel rhetoric. The movement has not been co-opted by terrorist supporters and Jew haters, they, as many erroneously state. Anti-Israel hate has been in its charter from the beginning. Members of BLM incited the Orthodox Jewish targeted pogrom in the Fairfax neighborhood of Los Angeles, and that's where my grandfather is from, and my father grew up in the Fairfax neighborhood in Los Angeles. On May 30th, five synagogues were vandalized along with three Jewish schools. Did you hear about that on the news? Now, anti-Israel messaging was sprayed, F the Jews, was heard in chants as the BLM anti-Semites were seen tearing through the area. That was the first in this year's round of BLM public anti-Semitism. Most recently, anti-Semitic chants were heard at a rally in Washington, D.C., and online anti-Semitic messaging is prevalent on the BLM post. So it's not surprising that de Blasio would support such a Jew-hating movement. For years, he palled around with Linda Sansour, the original queen bee of anti-Zionist anti-Semitism, and a disciple of the Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. These days, she has been eclipsed by Representatives Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, but her influence has been far-reaching in liberal spheres. De Blasio has led the charge against Jewish New Yorkers. Last year, when Jews, particularly Orthodox Jews, were being violently assaulted in New York, and it's the number one hate crime, ladies and gentlemen, as I've been saying on this show for years, when a first month wouldn't go by without hearing some horrid anti-Semitic attack, and then a day, de Blasio was blaming it on white supremacists. Even Democrat Councilman Chaim Deutsch, whose district resides where the primary targets, refuted the claim. And you remember back in the measles epidemic about a year ago, de Blasio and his administration are blaming Jews for spreading. It wasn't the 20 million illegal aliens that came here with being inoculated without getting shots. Then when the Iranian-backed terrorist in Nature Al-Quds Day event was held last year in Times Square, the anti-Israel groups participating had to get a permit. That was allowed. Not even a few weeks ago, a Day of Rage protest march was held in Brooklyn. These events explicitly target Israel, which directly is an attack on Jews and oftentimes leads to anti-Semitic incidents. Yet there were any neo-Nazi marches in New York City? Not that those should ever be encouraged, of course, but de Blasio would not give such an easy permit to white supremacists as he does to every other Jew hater. When New York was in the throes of the COVID-19 pandemic, only the Hasidic Jewish community was the target of de Blasio's ire. Yet there was overcrowding issues in the Bronx and house parties in Harlem. Being vigilant was all in the name of beating the virus, so most Jews did not say much. However, when a legitimate Hasidic funeral on April 28th was planned, not only with approval from New York Police Department, but with pre-approval of the mayor's office, de Blasio showed up shocked at the crowd size and immediately fired off an anti-Semitic tweet directed at the Jewish community. The Jewish community in New York is not cohesive. Dozens of vibrant groups make up the proud fabric of Jewry in New York, and so to blame all Jews due to the one prearranged funeral while ignoring other groups who gather in large numbers was absolutely, unequivocally anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitic. The mayor's a Jew hater. He doesn't even like his own citizens. Look what he allowed Black Lives Matter to do all around the city, to Macy's, to Fifth Avenue. And then today he signs this police department accountability bill, and he basically is going to have Black Lives Matter oversee the police department? Come on, New York. Get rid of this guy. But, you know, defunding the police, you know, beyond defunding the police, the Democrat leaders condone all this crime. Okay? And the Homeland Security reporter, Anna Giaratelli, from Washington Examiner, said that Democrats are moving to step beyond national debate over defunding the police, with three leading Democrats issuing statements over the past month that excuse and tolerate criminal acts. As some Seattle residents illegally seized several blocks of in June, and they weren't all residents, and christened the area of the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, I call it Chump, the Seattle mayor did not initially intervene. Instead, Durkin said Chaz, or Chop, or Chump, was patriotic, and that it could turn into a summer of love. I mean, this is unbelievable. But I think Pastor Mark Little, okay, I think he said it best, to be honest with you. You know, and from a Breitbart story put together by Robert Krajicek, it says that the removal of monuments and statues across America is part of a broader Marxist takeover involving elected officials, stated Mark Little, a Los Angeles-based attorney and pastor, offering his remarks Tuesday's rally to defend the Abraham Lincoln Emancipation Monument in Washington, D.C. And basically, what this pastor said, he goes, "We are witnessing a Marxist takeover supported by members of Congress that laughs through the flames that burn in the buildings of our inner cities that they set ablaze, and that they will not stop until it robs us of our freedom as we know it and is guaranteed under the Declaration of Independence. What we've seen since the matter of George Floyd in Minneapolis is the unveiling of what has been percolating against the church. Make no mistake, the body of Christ, the target of the Marxists, for and it's a lot of other things. It's Jews too, okay? But he said, it is no mistake. They are closing churches, forbidding singing during worship. Should we be so lucky as to get in a church these days, defacing murals and monuments of Christ and Blessed Virgin Mary, while the former head of the DNC, Howard Dean, calls Christians a religion of hate? To the learned mind, we are witnessing the birth of a long orchestrated effort by our enemies at the hands of the useful idiots of all ethnicities who hate their own country of birth and are driven by liberal ideology, who are driven not by liberal ideology, but by liberal theology, and bring the unsuspecting and misinformed along for the ride. We're fighting a new religion disguised as racial justice. This revolution has nothing to do with racial justice. It has everything to do with the authority of God versus their own quest for power." It's just... That's right. And There is, you know, nothing more concerning to me right now than what we see. And Black Lives Matter activists, he shot a police officer dead in Washington State. The media totally ignored this story. Washington State police officer Jonathan Shoup was murdered on Monday night, and his partner was shot and injured following a pursuit of a vehicle that ended in a pedestrian being struck. The killer, Henry E. Washington, fired a weapon at the police SUV pursuing him. Black Lives Matter activist Henry Eugene Washington, 37, was arrested early next morning. Washington was hiding on a rooftop not far from the scene of a crime. Washington got out of his car, began firing at police officers, killing one and hurting the other one. This guy was a Black Lives Matter activist. These people are domestic terrorists like Antifa. They're domestic terrorists like any violent criminal, and they need to be treated as such. And we can no longer cower to this. And is COVID a coincidence along with all this rioting? Well, Brian Irving doesn't think so. You've been listening to Feldman World Review. I want to thank you for tuning in. And just remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.
world, I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, I want to thank you for listening to the July 15th, 2020 podcast of Feldman World Review. I'm Brian Irving, your host here at Feldman World Review, thanking you for the support, thanking you for following the show. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you're enjoying it. And just please bring your friends, your family, your anybody you can think to come listen to the show and talk. The phones are open most of the time, so people can call in, and I would give every person a full 2 minutes, possibly three, to make any point they want, pro or against any of the issues that we're talking about. So just keep that in mind. Remember, if you keep the link to the show that you see on Facebook, that you see on Twitter, that you see on Parler, you can save that link and you can listen to the show anytime, anywhere, any place. You don't have to join me live. But just remember, when the going gets tough, and it's getting tough, the going has gotten tough, the fight is on. But we got to vote in the block. We got to win in November, 100%. No messing around. But just remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.